Larry Baldassaro interviewing Joe Torre, July 19th, 1997, County Stadium, Milwaukee.
Did you have, when you were growing, you grew up in the woods in New York area, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Did you have a strong sense of ethnic identity when you were a kid?
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? When I used to ask my mother, you know, what, you know, where are we from? You know, she was born in Naples. You know, I sensed that unless you were American, you had something to be ashamed of in those days. And it was sad. As a, you know, in retrospect, it's sad. She says, you're American, you know. Because I was really I'm the youngest of five children. The other four, my brothers and sisters, were raised or born anyway in my grandmother's house. So there was more Italian spoken, you know, that when we moved into the house in Brooklyn, you know, we, you know, nobody spoke Italian. So. And it's sad. I mean, I think it is that should happen.
I grew up the same way. So when you were a kid, did you have like particular ball players that you idolized or watched?
I was a Giants fan growing up in Brooklyn, which was dangerous. But I did it anyway. Basically, the rest of my family were Giants.
Did your father or your mother either know about baseball?
No, my father only got involved in baseball because he signed my brother Frank out of high school. My brother was too young to sign his own contract. In getting my brother the bonus with the Boston Braves at the time, he got a job. Became a scout.
Your dad?
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of the deal. And then went on to, you know, learn about baseball and became a scout for the Baltimore Orioles also.
Really?
Yeah. He was a retired police, New York City police.
So he did, did he encourage or discourage you and your brother?
Well, my brother already signed. See, that's how he got his job. But he discouraged my oldest brother, who's my brother Rocco, who just recently passed away from playing. He wanted him to go to college. And as it turned out, Rocco went to college for a year at St. John's and then joined the Navy. And then he became a New York City police. But I signed with the Braves. Scout signed my brother Frank. Honey Russell signed me.
Okay, and back to the question about when you were a kid. Did you
Willie Mays.
Italian?
Willie
okay.
Mays. Willie Mays. And probably the one Italian that came to mind who I didn't mind was Carl Furillo. He's a player of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, I didn't like the Dodgers, but Carl Furillo was okay, and I guess must have been the reason why.
How about Sal Magley?
Oh, of course. Sal LaBarber. Sal LaBarber. Sal was mean. That was the difference. You know, he used to. Well, it was interesting how Sal, you know, wound up with the Dodgers after the Giants.
Yeah.
But he was a favorite for sure when he pitched for the Giants.
But New York was the one place to sign Italian ball players early on, especially the Yankees. A lot of teams would not sign Italians. There was that bias. The Yankees started with Lazzari and Frosetti and. There's a whole tradition on this team.
And I tell you, when I signed with the Braves and then had my first year in the major leagues, which was 61, the one guy who, in spring training actually, that took me under his wing was Billy Martin. He used to call me Dave. Taught me a lot of baseball.
Did Martin identify himself as an Italian? Well, as you were saying, at that point, I'm just a couple of years younger than you, but our parents really wanted us to become American.
Right.
Speak English, go to school, assimilate.
I'll never forget when I asked my mom, where are we from? You know, what are we? Nabladon? Navlodon, that's what it was. What, Navlodon, Gallibrick, because you're American.
What about your dad?
My dad was from the northern. He was born in New York. I think his relatives were from northern. He was about northern Italy. He had blue eyes. He was the only one in the family with blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers and sisters all had brown eyes. Mom had brown eyes.
Because most Italians came from southern Italy, which is unusual. Mother was up in Cese,
mm-hmm.
the other coast. My father was born in the States, his father was Neapolitan.
So I guess I would be considered first and a half generation.
Right, before Greece. Exact same age. Well, you know, Sal Bandman named one of his sons after the character in The Godfather.
Sonny. I know. Sonny was here last night. He has an Italian wall. He has an Italian wall. He would take the pictures with all the Italian wall players. He took a picture of me yesterday and with Joe Girard.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize he named him after the Godfather character.
Yeah. He told me that several years ago. Well, today, I mean, virtually every team in the major leagues has Italian surnames on it, right?
Mm-hmm. And DiMaggio, you know, it was a little before me.
Mm-hmm.
A little before me. You know, Mantle was my main. I mean, he was the outfielder, center fielder when I remember watching a lot of baseball.
Well, DiMaggio retired early.
Yeah.
Think about it. 51, he was gone already. I grew up in Massachusetts. I was a big Red Sox fan. William is my guy.
Oh, boy. Went through the Ted Williams Tunnel the other day.
You did, yeah.
Ted Williams is a fascinating person. I've been in his company a number of times. He's fascinating.
Never lost that boyish enthusiasm.
No.
I did a book on it a few years ago, and I've had the fortune to be with him a couple of times. And, you know, you hear the reputation is tougher and everything, but maybe I caught him on good days, but he was great.
I sat with him. We used to go play the Jimmy Fund in Milwaukee, but we went in to play, and we sat in our dugout for the game. With the Braves. God, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Play.
No, probably watch, you know, clips.
Yeah. You talk to the guys that played with him, DiMaggio, Dom DiMaggio, Pesky, Bobby Dora. I still think he's terrific.
Hey,
Mason. I was talking to Willie Randolph before. I did a story on him. He was with the Brewers. I asked him if he thought the younger players had a sense of being part of Yankee tradition. He told me a story to illustrate the fact that Ruben Sierra first came up with the ball club. Phil Rizzuto was on the road. Do you know this story?
Yeah.
Rizzuto came up from the hotel lobby. He said, "Oh, meantime, it's just nice to meet you." Sierra said, "No, please, no autographs like that." And Rizzuto was supposed to come.
There's players today don't have a sense of the history of the game. Much less Yankee tradition.
I don't have a sense of history. Period. You know, deep down. Did you, in spite of what your mother told you, or did you find that as you were older, you had more of a sense of being Italian?
Yeah, very proud. I've been to Italy several times. Embarrassing that you don't speak Italian when you go to Italy, you know. But
what your name it is, right?
Like, you know, fine that I knew how to say white or red wine and ask for the check. And my wife got a kick out. I used to go in and we used to, you know, bargain for one thing or another when, you know, shopping, that was half the fun. You didn't really care what you spent, but it was fun to bargain.
Did you ever visit the hometown?
No. No, never did. You know what? When we went, I went with friend of mine, Matt Borzello, and Rudy LaRusso. You know Rudy LaRusso from he's a big basketball player. And he was coaching. He was an agent for some basketball players. So we started in Rome and went north. And I drove the whole way. We went to Forlì and Fabriano and never got to Florence, but we went to Bologna, San Marino, Venice, finished up at Lake Como in Milan. Right. My daughter, my stepdaughter, lives in Milan.
Lives in Milan?
Yeah, she's married to an Italian set designer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you ever get over to visit her?
I haven't visited her yet. She's been over visiting me several times, but I talked to her yesterday.
Now, she must speak Italian.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, she's just not a bit of Italian in her. She's my stepdaughter.
Ah, okay.
You know, we're not related other than, you know, when I was 3 years old, I married, when she was 3 years old, I married her mother.
Yeah. How'd she end up marrying an Italian slip designer?
She was in the mod. She was a model. How they come together and that.
How did she like that?
She liked it a lot. Liked it a lot. So she has a little baby at 3 years old, but she right now has to stay home because, you know, they've been living close to her in-laws. Yeah, they're not around. So she can't do as much work as she'd like to do.
But she likes still model?
Yeah, still model. Yeah, well. But her mother and myself are no longer married. We still, you know, maintain a relationship. I got married a couple of times, neither time in the church. And then my present wife, who's been married me 9 years next month, we married St. Patrick's Cathedral, which was quite memorable. But you know what's funny? Well, you probably experienced it. You know, you go to an Italian restaurant, you just feel like you're in somebody's house.
Right.
You know, you just feel like you're just very comfortable.
Well, I felt that way the first time I went to Italy.
Yeah.
When I was in college, and there's something about I felt at home then. And I was just starting to learn the language. I teach Italian now.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's great.
I'm so comfortable there.
So that's why my granddaughter, you know, she speaks English and Italian. It's wonderful. I mean, you know, since they start to talk, I mean, there it is. It's great.
I talked to you a couple of years ago, and the thing that stuck in my mind from that, you asked your mother once if you were Sicilian Italian, and she said that we were American.
Tablatan, Naples. We were from Naples, yeah.
How did that make you feel when she said we're American?
Well, I was a little disappointed. But I understood it. I didn't understand it necessarily at that time because I was a young kid and I was very curious. But realizing how, you know, because she was born in Italy, you know, I came to find out later that, you know, my dad, who was born in the States, and, you know, he both physically and emotionally abused my mom. Part of it was telling her she, you know, she came from the other side and she wasn't smart enough. So she was, in essence, American because that's, you know, the way everybody would perceive her in a better light, unfortunately.
And does that affect the way you saw yourself growing up? I mean, did you think of yourself as still as Italian or, I got to be American?
Well, no, I was American. I mean, are you sure you're proud of whatever heritage you have? But again, I just didn't have the information when people were asking, you know, and I certainly would have liked to have it. I would have liked to speak another language and, you know, learn a little bit about more about your, you know, your past and your family's, the family tree. But again, I knew what nationality I was on both sides of the family, and you know, but mainly I was American. Yeah, I didn't speak the language because my older brothers and sisters, I was the youngest of five, and my older brothers and sisters were raised for a good portion of their young years in a house, an apartment house, and my my grandmother and grandfather lived there. So there was more Italian spoke at that time. But when we moved to where I was raised, there was no Italian spoken in our house.
And your baseball career, I mean, did that have any effect on you with other players who were Italian?
No.
No connection there?
No, because I thought, you know, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my mom. You know, she came over. She was 8 years old when she came over to this country. But again, I don't feel any more closeness to someone because they're Italian as opposed to anybody else. You know, and I feel fortunate about that because I know the Italians were prejudiced against for a time, as the blacks, were and still are in certain circles, the Jews, obviously. And I didn't like any of that. I grew up not having any prejudices, you know, going to school with blacks, going to school with Jews. And, you know, I'm looking back, it's probably the greatest exposure I had as a child.
You grew up a Giants fan.
Yeah.
There weren't many Italians played for the Giants. Johnny Antonelli.
Right, Johnny Antonelli, right. That's right.
They're mostly with the Yankees.
Sal Magley.
Yeah, later.
Yeah. But again, I was a Giants fan because my older brothers and sisters were Giants fans. And then I sort of were anointed a Giants fan only because I grew up, you know, admiring my older brothers and sisters.
After playing at Seaball in Eau Claire, and I was being interviewed on the bench, and Bob Schepping, who was one of our coaches, was sitting there as I was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked me about, you know, what do you want, what are your goals? I said, I want to play in the big league. And Schepping said, no, you want to star in the big league. That's what your goals should be. And that always stuck with me, you know, and it sort of helped the motivation.
I think it's safe to say that, and not just Italians, but anybody who's been in this game has not had as much dual success as you, first as a player, then as a manager. Have you enjoyed one of those aspects more? Or?
Well, I enjoyed the playing. I while I was playing, though, I didn't enjoy the playing as much as, looking back on it and knowing how much fun it really was. I mean, everything was work to me. I always felt growing up that I was under a great deal of pressure, which I think comes from, I guess, our ethnic background, where there's just such a need to succeed and to accomplish and a lot of stuff. And I had older brothers who both played baseball ahead of me, Frank professionally, my brother Rocco in school, that everybody pretty much knew who, you know, what family I belonged to when I was playing in the Sandlots. And I just felt a great deal of pressure to live up to whatever it was I had to live up to. So maybe the baseball end of this thing, it was a lot of work, which is what it's supposed to be, but I don't think I enjoyed playing as much as I wish I would have. And I think it was based on the fact that I didn't have a great deal of self-esteem, based on probably a lot of, abuse that was going on in my home. My dad was abusive to my mom, never physically abusive to me, but I think my self-esteem was based on how I did on the baseball field.
What has the game meant to you as you look back over all the years?
Well, it's been my whole life. When you consider as a youngster, before being a teenager, something that was always talked about in your family, just the baseball, how much fun it is. I mean, what it's fun to watch. We were all Giants fans living in Brooklyn, which certainly wasn't a popular thing to be. And all of a sudden you find yourself, the kid brother of Frank Torrey, who was playing on the World Series teams here in Milwaukee, and wondering, you know, if it's possible to have two members of one family be in the major league. What are the chances of that? And then to have an opportunity to be in the big leagues and to really have a very, very good career, very successful career as a player, all but getting to the postseason. It's something that you always did in your spare time, and you find yourself getting paid to do so, something like that. So I feel very fortunate. I never had to look for a job, basically.
When you first became a manager, were there any people that were particularly influential in your earning the job?
You know, I played for the Braves both in Milwaukee and Atlanta, and I was very immature, probably irresponsible. I know I was irresponsible. When you get traded, and it was a very turbulent time I had the last year or so with the Brave organization. And I got traded to St. Louis to a very successful franchise who had just finished going to two World Series in a row in 67, 68. You realize you better grow up. And it was a big influence on my career going to St. Louis and being surrounded by the people who had just come off two successful years. And I became friends with the McCarvers and the Maxfields and the Bob Gibsons and Lou Brock. And I sort of learned how to behave. I learned what competing was about. And I was very thankful for that experience there for those 6 years.
So here you are now with the Dodger organization, which has a pretty strong Italian tradition of management. Buzzy Bellisi, who just passed away. Tommy Nasorda, of course. Al Campanis, GM for a while. Now Ned Coletti. How does it feel to be in this environment now?
Well, the Dodgers, they boast how family-oriented they are. At Dodger Stadium, and I have that sense. Well, when we have one of our first meetings to Dodger Town in Vero Beach, all my coaches are on the table, all the scouts, all the minor league managers and minor league people, coordinators, chefs from Dodger Town, people in the housekeeping department, and I was so taken by that, where, you know, everybody was meant to feel important, which to me is the way I like to do things, that it made me feel very, very welcome at that point in time, coming in from another organization, and the way I was welcomed, they made me feel you know, not only welcome, but that I could help.
Tommy Lasorda must be delighted to have an Italian managing the team again.
Well, Tommy,
nobody more Italian than
Tommy did some things that I gave him credit for, but at the time I cursed him for. When you watched, I told him, I said, Tommy, you invented the hug in this game. You know, we had a lot of macho people playing this game, and you all of a sudden humanized them, and I give him a lot of credit for that, because you realize the passion you need to not only compete in this game, but to win. He did that, plus he had his team out there getting loose all together when they used to run as a unit. And you really scoff at it as an opposing player or manager when you're watching it, but you certainly understand how necessary it is to have a team help each other along the way.
It's funny how life turns out. Here you're a Giants fan managing the Dodgers.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting now is where I grew up with that Dodger-Giant rivalry, and while we're doing this, I haven't been to San Francisco yet, but San Diego seems to be the competition anymore in the rivalry, because there are a lot of, I don't want to say angry people, but loud people in San Diego when we go down there to play. So I have a sense that the rivalry has moved south, you know, as opposed to staying in San Francisco. Not that there's not going to be some animation when we get up there, but I was a little taken with the fact that it's probably not the same as when the Giants and Dodgers were both playing in New York. So that's a little different.
You mentioned your brother Frank. He told me several years ago when I talked to him in County Stadium that when he went to Atlanta, he had trouble getting into a country club because he was Italian. We ever talked to you about that?
I know Frank and I are very close. He was like a dad to me, even though he's the next youngest in the family after me. But again, I sensed the prejudice when I was growing up and was curious with my mom and asking her about what part of Italy she was born. And she would always answer me the same way: "You're American." And it was sad. I mean, it's sad now. I mean, she's gone over 30 years, but knowing how my dad made her feel inferior because she was born in Italy, in Bettina, Italy, that, you know, he really didn't allow her to be proud of her heritage. And so that was pretty much a sense of the way Italians, Jews, blacks were really prejudiced against in a lot of ways. And, you know, we still have a ways to go. I'm not talking about Italian, but I think prejudice, we still have a ways to go in this country. And hopefully in my lifetime, I can smile at that.